The web that has no weaver. Page 283. Chapter 9. Chinese medicine as an art, or on the penetrating divine illumination. So far, this book has presented the basic step-by-step logic of Chinese medicine. We have examined the process of perceiving patterns in the myriad of events, feelings, sensibilities, needs, and intentions that makes up a human life. Bits and pieces have been put together in an ever-refined image of yin and yang. This method, putting the stones, mountains, mist, and pebbles of human life into a clinical image, is a learning method that the tradition uses to train novice physicians. The tradition expects a new physician to become proficient in this method with the commitment and effort of a lifetime of practice, study, and reflection. But, in fact, the underneath this method is a counter-process, in opposition to a yang method. This process has to do with the dialectic between whole and part, another level of yin and yang. This parallel undercurrent is the artistry of Chinese medicine as opposed to its knowledge. It's a method that allows the clinical landscape to be more than a metaphor and for the Chinese physician to claim that his or her work imitates that of the artist. For both the Chinese artist and the clinician, the landscape is dedicated to the expression of the inner spirit instead of the physical verisimilitude, and the painting should reflect a spontaneous and instantaneous flow of the brush. A landscape needs to capture an essence to suggest more than the merely visible and open, up to the life of the spirit. This artistic method of East Asian medicine manifests on multiple and continuous levels. For convenience, the chapter divides this artistry into three stages. Each progressive level of the dialectic between whole and part reveals a deeper layer of an ancient art whose mastery is one of the ultimate goals of the dedicated East Asian physician. Each level of the dialectic also embodies a unique aspect of the physician's response in a clinical encounter. We have already touched on the first level of the dialectic. Chinese medicine is never addition, gathering the parts, that is, complaints, signs, and symptoms, to make a whole. The parts never constitute a whole. In fact, the whole determines the components. Context governs. In the clinical landscape, the reality of things only exists, and thus only manifests itself in a totality through the force of propensity, the inherent yin yang dynamic that links its various elements in a whole. No components of the pattern can be isolated. No piece has an ontological significance independent of the entire environment. A simple example may be helpful. Consider a patient with dry eyes. In chapter 6 and chapter 8, we have said that this sign or complaint is usually part of a deficient liver blood or incondition. The reason for the association is, in part, the appearance of the symptom, which is lack of moisture, and in part because, in an accumulated clinical experience of Chinese physicians, dry eyes often are accompanied by the signs of deficient blood, for example, thin pulse, pale tongue, poor self-esteem, or deficient yang, that is, thin, rapid pulse, reddish tongue, self-deprecation. This common association, however, is not always accurate. If the signs accompanying dry eyes were to point to aspects of excess, for example, a strong pulse and hostility, the complaint would probably be seen as part of a pattern of liver fire or arrogant liver yang ascending. Dry eyes could also be part of a deficient kidney yin pattern if a different set of signs, which is rapid, frail pulse and inordinate fear, were present. It's possible for dry eyes to be understood as part of a pattern of heat violating the lungs if accompanying signs included acute onset, cough, and rapid floating pulse. Less typical possibilities would be various deficient qi or deficient yang patterns, which should have wet complaints. In these cases, atypical dryness in the eyes would be interpreted as a qi or yang unable to raise water. The configuration stamps the fragment. Sometimes aspects of multiple patterns merge. In fact, any pattern or combination could have the complaint of dry eyes. The energetic significance of dry eyes is ultimately infused by the landscape. Earlier chapters have already taken this level of artistry into account. Without it, a diagnosis or clinical assessment of the human landscape would not be possible. The second level of the East Asian dialectic of whole and part has to do with the fact that there is no ultimate separation between whole and part. The whole imprints on each single unit of the clinical landscape. What the sinologist Francois Julien has said about Chinese painting also applies to the clinical landscape. It should be remembered that, according to Chinese physics, every element in the landscape, from the great mountain ridges to the individual tree or rock, owes its creation solely to the accumulation of cosmic energy and is constantly flooded by that same energy. In the clinical landscape, the Chinese physician can see the whole in any part. At this level of artistry, the concern is particularity. A truly adept physician can diagnose from almost any single piece in the human configuration. In the finest shading of the particular emotional ambience, or tongue, or manner of walking, or pulse, the master physician can discern a pattern, because the whole leaves its characteristic mark on each part. Again, a simple example may be helpful. A particular pattern should produce a distinct cough. A pattern of cold wind invading the lungs, for example, would probably be associated with a round, full cough. A hot wind pattern would manifest as an agitated cough with a drier sound, and there would be a difficulty in coughing up sputum. Mucus obstructing the lungs would produce a full, high-pitched, watery sound, less forceful than cold wind, with a lot of sputum. The cough of a deficient lung end pattern would be raspy, weak, and frail. The kidneys not grasping the qi would produce a short, weak cough with some gargling or wheezing. A liver invading the lung cough would have a spurting, projective quality with many coughs in a series and then a rest. The cough of congealed blood obstructing the chest would be weak and have a slushy texture. One could similarly diagnose the pattern of a cough from other single signs such as pulse or tongue. The same sense of any detail being a reflection of whole is true for any aspect of a person, even a single emotion. For example, fear is generally associated with the kidneys, but the whole configuration impacts and refines any detail. A fear from kidney yang might be associated with an inability to be decisive in relationships, while the fear of kidney yin might be linked with the pattern of not being able to form stable relationships. Fear can be attached to other organs. The emotion of fear connected to the liver may hide behind an aggressive veneer, while spleen fear would be entwined in worry and ruminations. A heart fear might be connected to clumsiness and confusion. The fear itself would probably, but not necessarily, be connected to the kidneys. The ability to detect such refined impressions takes a high level of skill, beyond the skill required by the first level. It was epitomized for me by an elderly Chinese doctor who was my first teacher of the tradition. After a new patient would call to make an appointment, there was no secretary. Dr. Hong would often tell me what acupuncture points or herb formula he was likely to use. The patient would not have necessarily even mentioned the problem. He gave me a look of patience when I started quizzically. Only later did he tell me he could guess the energetic of the person by how he or she accepted, negotiated, or fussed during the exchange concerning appointment time. This second level of artistry, however, is not meant for the performance of impressive diagnostic feats, although sometimes it is helpful in a complex case. Its value lies in the way it sharpens the therapeutic response. The artistry of the first level, seeing how the whole shapes the part, is crude, even with its artistry. It simplifies as it discerns. Its artistry is generic. The particularity of the second level, the pieces reflect the whole, allows for the additional refinement. Any fragment of the terrain actually needs a distinct assortment of herbs in various dosages and acupuncture points with various methods of stimulation. A treatment for a wind cold with a scratchy noise, a nose, is slightly different from the treatment for a wind cold with a hoarse throat or wind cold with a stiff neck. Indecisive fear, unstable fear, aggressive fear, ruminating fear, and confused fear may all relate to the kidneys, but each requires its own unique set of herbs and acupuncture points. The herbal pharmacopoeias and acupuncture manuals provide the information needed to select the appropriate treatment. Also, divine illumination to penetrate the essence of the myriad of things and perceive as if the wind has blown to the wind has blown the clouds away. Chibo tells the emperor that his own teacher, who by implication is a genuine master, exclusively relied on the penetrating divine illumination. In other places, the Neijing reverentially insists that this method is superior, is a spirit of medicine, compared with the more linear and primitive forms of examining a patient. Other early texts echoed this refrain. In fact, the method is extensively praised in the few Chinese books that describe medicine that predate the Neijing. For example, Bian Che, the legendary physician, says that although he knows of four methods of assessment and the method of taking the pulse, he does not bother with them. Your way of using techniques, questioning and pulse-taking, is like peeping through a tube to see the sky or looking for the pattern in things by peering through a crack. His art, it seems, is to discern the pattern instantaneously. He intuitively apprehended its general movement. So the physician, like the painter, must be inspired, must possess a particularly sensitive consciousness, so that he can unite in spirit with his landscape and, by exposing himself to it and communicating with it, grasp in a stroke how the whole scene functions. In fact, Chibo and Bian Che are expressing the necessary hidden implication of the Chinese medicine method and the dialectic of whole and part. If level one is the true, one needs to apprehend the whole to interpret the pieces, and if level two is true, the whole infuses the parts, then level three must also be true. The whole is always palpable, presents in the immediate encounter of patient physician. In fact, the whole is the only thing that is fundamentally present. The penetrating divine illumination is a secret method buried within the four examinations and pattern discernment that easily eludes the novice physician. It can only be consciously grasped by the seasoned veteran. The penetrating divine illumination cannot be taught. It grows within the physician as the craft is honed. After a lifetime of practice, using the simpler levels of knowing and artistry in Chinese medicine, it automatically and autonomously reveals that it was always present. The poetic wholeness alone is real. Everything else was minor. Zhu Danxi, the Cinnabar Creek master, said that this vision is the capacity of sage, for the wizened practitioner, everything else is preliminary. All knowledge and art lives here. I first learned about this kind of vision from Dr. Hong, my first teacher, who would routinely gain his patients' confidence by casually bringing up details of their life that they had not even mentioned before. He just knew. His intuition had been refined in a crucible of experience that gave him capacities beyond what is ordinary throughout thought possible. But the point of the penetrating divine illumination has nothing to do with impressing patients or clinical theatrics. And it is much more than a knowledge that infuses the preliminary levels of art. While the encounter of level 1 allows for a diagnosis and level 2 allows for a nuanced formulation of herbs and acupuncture, it's level 3, the penetrating divine illumination, which allows for the mysterious transmutation at the core of the healing encounter. The penetrating divine illumination, even if it is hidden from the beginner's consciousness of a novice physician, is the very basis for the success of any treatment and clinical engagement. The penetrating divine illumination is not merely an intuitive knowing. It is a secret treatment, what Wu Kan called the medicine without form. The penetrating divine illumination is aching to the moment in the landscape painting that is the secret, particular point where the success or failure of the painting is decided. In other words, it is what every landscape painting depends on for its life. The illumination is the core dialectic of healing. The point where receptivity or in automatically and instantaneously becomes transformation, which is yang. The moment of the penetrating divine illumination is the resonance of qi between the patient and the physician. Intimate knowing and profound witnessing effortlessly become the elixir for profound transmutation. Assessment and treatment, patient and doctor, yin and yang merge. Healing manifests. The penetrating divine illumination starts as an assessment and instantaneously becomes intervention. The penetrating divine illumination is a magic of soul meeting soul, spirit reflecting spirit. The instantaneous recognition necessarily initiate profound treatment. The immediate responses of the physician in the clinical encounter, the words, posture, gestures, questions, attention, intention, genuineness, empathy, compassion, belief, and vision, deeply affect and resonate with the spirit of another human being. The divine penetrating illumination is the ultimate basis of healing. Chibo, the medical teacher in the Neijin, admits that his sage teacher not only was not dependent on normal diagnostic method, but also had no use for routine therapeutic interventions such as herbs or acupuncture. His teacher, the symbolic archetypal master that all physicians aspire toward, both knew and treated exclusively by the penetrating divine illumination. The discernment of the penetrating divine illumination automatically moves the essence, or jing, and transforms the qi. Intense communication and intimate recognition automatically resonate and affirm the integrity of a patient qi and spirit. For the physician, using the penetrating divine illumination was an elusive and highest artistic goal. Each generation of East Asian practitioners spoke of it. Xu Shuwei, author of a major Song Dynasty medical compilation, cautioned his student that ultimately, to make the patient feel better before taking the medicine is the most direct method. Su Chun, the leader of the 17th century Korean medical delegation to China, said that the Chinese used a method of healing that begins even before the medicine reaches the mouth. Wu Zhutong, the famous Qin Dynasty physician, said he relied on the method of Qi Bo's teacher when he encountered internal and complex illnesses. The divine penetrating illumination is the essence which is Jing and the wisdom of healing. Future generation of East Asian healers will undoubtedly aspire to practice this deepest mystery of their healing tradition. The penetrating divine illumination is the highest form of the yin and yang of healing. I used to watch it when I worked with my first teacher. Just from being and talking with Dr. Hong, most patients encountered within themselves a depth humanity deeper than the difficulty or tragedy of any illnesses. Authenticity and integrity were experienced. The chi shifted. The spirit was touched. No matter how broken or isolated a person felt before the appointment, a meeting with Dr. Hong was an opportunity for both an expression and a recognition of his or her most genuine humanity.